Welcome to Teacher Tales, where the chalk meets the cheese. I'm Glenn Bryant, your host on this weekly podcast, here to share the fun, the fails, and the fantastic moments from classrooms everywhere. Whether you're an educator or you just love a good story, you're in the right place. Stick around, like, subscribe, and share. You don't want to miss a single laugh or lesson. Hello and welcome to
Teacher Tales.
I'm joined here today by a longtime friend and acquaintance I've known for a long time. I don't remember if I ever had him in class or not, but I do remember that he was a great student and a good football player. And a guy who covered for me as a young man when I had to go away on military duty. So, Coach Sam Wallace, he's currently a Danville Hawk. Coach Wallace, tell us about yourself and kind of your journey into education and how you got to be where you are. And tell us about yourself.
Well, this is my 17th year teaching.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That makes me old.
Yeah, you are old. 17th year teaching. And I'm head boys basketball coach here at Danville. I've been the girls basketball coach at Elkmont the last 6 years. And people at Elkmont were just terrific. No time I was there. Limestone County in general was terrific while I was there. But how I got into teaching was my granddad has been a pastor a long time. He's the real Sam Wallace. And that's my namesake. He is Sam Wallace and I am Samuel Wallace. Everybody just calls me Sam. It's just, I'm not the real Sam
Wallace. That's all I've ever known. Yeah. Yeah.
Just, he's the real Sam Wallace. I'm not. That's all I need to say about that. But so at a certain point in my life, I thought, hey, being a preacher might be a good thing for me to go into. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, people choose to go to church. They don't choose to go to school. So I felt like my impact would be much wider. I could have much more impact if I went to school, not necessarily making kids believe in Jesus.
That's a plus if you can.
Yeah. But just the impact and the influence I could have on kids, just to maybe they can be a better person because they were in my classroom.
The best Christian kid is going to spend about 3 hours a week at church.
Yeah.
And as a high school math teacher, you're going to get them for 5 hours a week at least. And if they're an athlete,
more than that,
you're going to get them more than that.
If they're an athlete, I spend more time with them than their parents do during season.
And that's not a bad thing when it's, you know, it's quality interaction.
So, but that's kind of how I got into education, and that's kind of my why. Like, why do I do what I do? You hear people say, "What's your why?" That's my why. Like, to be an influence for Christ. And if I can teach them some math and teach them some basketball along the way, that's great too.
That's a great reason to do what you do. It's kind of what I always felt like education was a calling, much like the ministry or anything else like that. So, thank you for being with us.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear what you have to say when we get to our long-form interview. Well, all right, we're back, and we're ready to do the long-form interview. Again, I'm here with Coach Wallace at Danville High School. Coach Wallace, what's the most memorable moment a student made you laugh, and how did that moment impact your teaching?
So this moment did not make me laugh at the time at all. But now I look back, gosh, it's been 11, 12 years ago now. And it's hilarious now that I think about it. And it's also shaped me as a person, as a teacher. So I'll tell a story at the end of story time that's related to this. But Senior Frank, first year teaching at West Morgan, is probably 2010, 2011. I graduated West Morgan in 2005, so I'm back at my alma mater, just not very far along after that. Our principal, Mr. Harris, was my math teacher in 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And these kids for Senior Frank put these fishing ponds in my classroom with goldfish in the actual fishing poles. And it was the day of senior, we were going to be reviewing for senior exams that day. And I lost my temper. I was not happy. Brandy Ashby, who's a really good friend of mine now, came down. She's like, "You need to chill out." I said, "You need to get the heck out of my room. Before I go off on you too." And so I was really upset. Not they pranked me, but more for the reason that, like, I wasn't going to get to the review with our seniors before they took their senior exam. And so what I learned from that is that it ain't always about math. It ain't always about science. It ain't always about history. It ain't always about English. It's a relationship business. It ain't about you as a teacher. It's about the kids. And It's made me a better person. I'm much more laid back than I used to be. And so that story is connected to the story at the end, and those two go together. And once you see the end, you'll understand how they go together. But that's that story. So,
all right, our next question is kind of a personal question. Well, all of these are kind of personal questions, but our next question is, if you could give your younger teacher self one piece of advice, only one, what would that be? And why did you select that piece of advice to share with your younger self?
Well, it's not about you. Like that's the thing. If I talked to myself 17 years ago now, like I would tell them, hey, it ain't about you. Like this ain't about you. It's about relationships. Don't sweat the small stuff. Like there's going to be days where you have pep rally and you miss that period. There's going to be days where you have a snow day and don't have school at all. There's going to be days where you have delayed entry and you miss the first two periods. Just do what you can with what you have where you are. That's Teddy Roosevelt said that. And that's just do your best. And understand that every kid that walks in your classroom has a story that you know nothing about. So just be kind when you can.
All right. So what's the craziest thing that you've done to keep your students engaged? And more importantly, did it work?
Yes, it worked. And the story is we sang the quadratic formula to the
– You want to hum a few bars for us now?
I will do it, yes. To the tune of Pop Goes the Weasel.
Okay. Yeah. I can't wait for this.
And the kids – I may mess it up. I haven't taught – quadratic formula in probably 2 or 3 years.
And since we have to use it so frequently, it's a piece of very critical information.
Well, it is.
From one teacher to another.
You use it a ton in algebra too.
Yeah, but after that, I haven't been asked for it once.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's the thing kids will always ask, when am I ever going to use this?
Yeah.
You're probably not going to.
Unless you're going into upper level.
Now, I have used the Pythagorean theorem while playing golf.
Yeah, use it frequently.
Hit it in the wrong fairway.
Had
a distance to the pin.
Helps me, that 3-4-5 rule helps me all the time.
That's right. So I walk over in the middle of the fairway, shoot your distance, walk straight over the right angle, shoot the pin, and you figure exactly how far you got. So,
all right. So let's let it rip on the song.
This is not, I am not by any means a musical savant.
That's why I can't wait.
Yeah. So it's like X, let's see. All right. I get the tune first. Oh, okay. X equals opposite B plus or minus square root B squared minus 4AC all over 2A. And they never forgot it. And when I first started teaching at West Morgan, some teacher in the room before me took permanent marker and wrote on the board the quadratic formula.
Oh, his name wasn't Mr. Bryant.
It was Mr. Bryant. Yeah. So that was, we sang that song together and they never forgot it.
All right. Yeah, I would agree. That's probably one of the, I had the ratio rap when I was teaching middle school. So, you do what you got to do. How do you personally stay motivated on those days when nothing seems to go right?
Well, it's just
as a coach,
yeah.
You probably experience that more frequently than you do as just regular classroom teacher. But in the classroom, it's the same.
It's both. Let me say this first. I think the best teachers are coaches, because what do we talk about? What do we talk about good teachers doing? We talk about meeting kids where they are. We talk about them differentiating instruction. We talk about them getting movement in the classroom. We talk about all these different things, and that's what coaches do. Like, you have to coach a kid where they are. You have to differentiate the levels of instruction. You can't coach your best player the way you coach your worst player, because their skills aren't the same. Just like you can't teach a 36 ACC kid the same way you teach a 12 ACC kid, because their skills aren't the same. So I think coaches get a lot of bad rap. They get a bad rap for not being a good teacher. But I think your best coaches are teachers. They're good teachers. And so anyway, how do I do it? Like, it's not about you. Like I said in the earlier question. And what reminds me of this is there's a story about Bob Marley, and he was shot in his home in Jamaica, and then 2 days later, he got up and sang a concert, a charity concert, in front of 80,000 people. And the press asked him, he's like, how in the world could you possibly, you were shot. It wasn't like he got shot. It wasn't fatal. It was a flesh wound.
Yeah.
He got shot in the arm, but still, like, he was shot with a bullet. And they asked him, like, how could you do this? And he said, well, the people that are trying to make this world worse every day are not taking a day off. So I can't afford to take a day off either. And so to me, like every day there's a kid in my classroom that needs me. And even me at 75% is better than me with no effort. Right. So you have to give whatever you have. If it's there's gonna be days you have it, and you can give 100%. There's gonna be days like we had a late ball game, or it's a snow day or whatever. You just gotta do what you can where you are with what you have.
Can you think of a time or share a time when a student success story reminded you of why you got into teaching?
I got a coaching story. And I got a teaching story. I'm gonna name these kids by name because they're both graduated. So the first one is a teaching story. And me and this girl talk a lot. Her name is Daniela Altamirano. And when I got to West Morgan, she was in my focus group, homeroom, however you want to call it. She was a ninth grader. She has a situation where she was in a wheelchair, and she's very good singing. And so we had a talent show, and she was like, I can't do this. I can't, like, people were trying to encourage her to sing and to go and sing from the talent show. And so I told her, I said, Daniela, like you can do this. Like, you're a good singer. Like, the fact that you're in a wheelchair has no impact on you whatsoever as a person, or like, you need to just like use the skills and use the gifts that God has given you and go up there and you kill it. And she did. She went through. She did a great job. And to this day, like she still texts me and calls me the GOAT. That's what she says. You're the GOAT. Because she said, you're the person that gave me confidence, and that people didn't see me as a girl in a wheelchair. They saw me as a person. And she's a speech pathologist for a school now. And she says the reason she went to teaching is because of me. Like, I don't know. Relationships are what's important in life. And we were at my in-laws this past weekend, and when I got home, I had a box sitting on my porch. In that box, she had bought me some stuff for Danville. Like, she bought me clipboards. As Coach Wallace has a clipboard on it, and has my name on it. It's purple and all. That's what teaching's about. Like, kids will never remember the quadratic formula or what a participle phrase is, or why we fought the War of 1812, or any of those things, or what an atom is, and that stuff. But they will always remember how it made them feel. That's the thing. And it's about people. The sports story is a girl I coached at Elkmont last year. Her name is Thea Hamlin. She's my favorite kid I've ever coached, and I don't mind saying that out loud. I told her parents that. She tore ACL the sixth game in the middle of her senior year. And she had been a terrific leader for us. She's a terrific person. She's at Auburn now on scholarship. She won the Bryant Jordan Award for our school in our region last year, and she ended up winning an Auburn scholarship through Bryant Jordan during the interview process. She tore ACL, and she came back and played last year. Just because, and it wasn't for her. Like, she didn't play for her. She played for her teammates, and that's what she told me. She said, I don't want to do this for me. I want to finish with the girls I've grown up with. And it's just, it reminds you why you coach. Like, because sports teaches things that honestly the classroom could never teach. Like doing something because it's being a part of something that's bigger than you. Just work.
Resiliency.
Integrity.
Teamwork.
Exactly right.
All of those things.
Continuous growth.
That will help you in life.
Yes.
Beyond, no matter what your skill, no matter what you choose to do as a career.
And so, like, she was a great player for us. Like, she was a really good player, first of all. Like she was our best player, honestly. And she got hurt, and she could have just went ahead and had surgery, been done with it. But she chose to play through a torn ACL, which is not very easy to do. I don't know how hard it is, because I know how to do it. But, like, the doctor says, like, either she can do it or she can't. Either she can take the pain or she can't. And she could, and she did it, It was an inspiration to me and the rest of our team too. So
our next question is, what's the funniest misunderstanding or miscommunication that you've ever had with a student?
Yeah, this wasn't a misunderstanding. This was just a kid being a knucklehead. I'm not gonna call this kid by name, but we're
little Johnny.
Yeah, little Johnny. That's right, little Johnny. And so we are we're studying trigonometric identities and verifying them. Very difficult content. Not easy to do. And so we had done quite a bit of practice, 25, 30 questions of practice. And I told them, like, hey, if you got all these done, then I'll let you use these on tests. Like, none of these are going to show up on tests, but you can use them and maybe frame it so you can apply it to some of the questions that are on tests. And this joker went to the teacher's lounge, took another student's work, photocopied it from the copier, and I made them turn what they use on their work in. And he probably would have gotten away with it too, except for the handwriting was girls, and he left the girl's name on the paper. So it really wasn't a misunderstanding. Like, I don't have a whole lot of misunderstandings. And, you know, John Gordon has a saying that where there's a void in communication, negativity will always fill it. Like, so I try to over-communicate. So there are misunderstandings. Now, do they happen? They do. This wasn't a misunderstanding. This was a kid. Here's just being a knucklehead. So,
what do you do, or how do you inspire students who are struggling both academically and personally?
I think you got to build relationships first. That's the first thing. Like, in all of my interviews I've ever done, head basketball coach, math, whatever it may be, relationships are the center point of what we do. It's a relationship business. Whether you're a principal and you got a relationship with your students and your teachers, whether you're a teacher and you got a relationship with your students and your parents, or if you're a student, you got a relationship with your teachers, administration, your parents. Like, it's just a relationship business. But I think you got to build relationships first. Number two, we do a quote of the day every day. It's on the board. You can't see it from where your camera is. But today's quote was the Teddy Roosevelt quote I referenced earlier. And we do a quote of the day every day. I also have also in the corner up there, you see there's an energy bus. There's an energy bus bulletin board. I'm a big believer in the energy bus. It's a book by John Gordon. And it's just about there's 10 rules. I don't have memorized, but there's 10 rules. I'll go through a couple of them. Number one, like, you're the driver of your own bus. You are in charge of you and nobody else is. Like, just because Susie does something wrong doesn't mean you should do something wrong. It's the old adage of, if everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? Well, you're still in charge of you. Take responsibility for you. Don't make excuses for you. It's about you. One of the rules is don't be an energy vampire. Like, don't suck the life out of everybody around you. Being an energy giver. Are you a fountain or are you a drain? Like, are you giving life to people or are you sucking it out of them? So just we try to make it bigger than math, bigger than basketball, bigger than whatever we're doing. But those are a couple of things. Quote of the day, just build relationships and then the energy bus.
So the last question is, if teaching were a superhero job, what's your superpower? And how do you use it in the classroom?
So I'm on a teams contract, which means I have an athletic period in 6 classes, no plan. So for me, what I would, if I had a superpower, I like the Marvel universe. Some like DC, some like Marvel. I like Marvel. Doctor Strange has the ability to freeze time, and while he can still understand what's going on, that's what I would do. Freeze time so that I can be everywhere at once. Because I've got first period in the gym, and then I've got to sprint over here and teach 6 straight classes. I usually stay after school 45 minutes to an hour to kind of use my de facto planning until basketball starts. When basketball starts, I don't have that time. And so if I can just freeze time for a second and let me get some things done while time doesn't move, that would be great.
Unfortunately, you're not able to do that. But no. Now, I do know this from a similar schedule as an administrator, and I do know that the longer you do it, the easier it gets.
Oh, yeah.
And you begin to think things through from the back. You know, I got to have this done next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so if I do, you know, you begin to think backwards and backwards plan. And
the other thing too is as time goes on, like we've become more and more sophisticated with our technology. AI is a great tool. It is also a great hindrance sometimes for classroom teachers. I'm glad I don't teach English, so I ain't got to worry about people, you know, write me a paper on this. I don't worry about that.
Funny story about that, if you got a second. Yeah. So in 1983, I was a junior at Hartsville High School, and I almost didn't finish my junior year because of my English teacher's requirement that our papers be hand typed.
Yeah.
Now in our lab, you know, one of my classes, I had I've always taken the computers, always loved working with computers. And so I was ahead of my time, I guess, a little bit, even in 1983. But we had these IBM Selectric typewriters that would finish, that you would type, and then they would automatically spell check. They would do some things that, well, I used one of those for my term paper, and she absolutely, she called it a word processor, and she said that that was absolutely forbidden, and she gave me an F. Had to go appeal to the administrator. It was my work. It was my ideas. It was my, I just used the tools that I had in front of me. And I kind of take the same
to an extent
mentality with that toward AI in today's, you know, they're tools to be used. We have to figure out how to use them and use them correctly. But to be against them, I mean, you can't stop the future. It's going to.
Well, at some point we said, at some point in the classroom, I think you said, hey, no calculators are ever allowed, ever. In fact, like UAH had a no calculator policy for a while. And then, you know, we decided, hey, let's learn to use
calculators. Learn to use the tools that are available correctly. That's my stance on that. Same way I feel about cell phones, but I just don't think in a math class they have any business.
I think we can hide under a rock and say, like, these things should be allowed. Or we can try to stay ahead of the curve. I think you always got to try to innovate. You always got to try to adapt. You got to meet the kids where they are. They're using these things, so you might as well use them for our advantage. So for me, AI, it allows me to save time on some certain tasks. The Google Suite's pretty cool because I can do work on my cell phone.
Driving down the road.
Well, not driving down the road, but my wife would kill me if she knew I was doing that.
All right, we're back, and it is that segment of our Teacher Tales where we do story time. So story time is that part where it's reserved for things that didn't fit into the interview, but they were just too funny and they can only happen at school. So Coach Wallace, do you have any funny pranks or stories or anything that you wanted to share during story time?
So there's one prank I'm going to share in the long interview.
Okay.
This other prank I'll share now. And these two pranks kind of shaped me, honestly, my philosophy of how I should be in the classroom. Just some background on me. I'm a pretty uptight individual, like straight laced, however you want to put that.
Yeah, by the rules.
My dad used to tell me that I'm so tight I squeak when I walk. So
well, that's not a bad thing in the classroom.
So this is my third year teaching. I was back teaching at West Morgan. I graduated from West Morgan in 2005, and I'm back teaching. This is probably 2010 or 2011, 2012, one of those years. My first year at West Morgan, and I've got a fifth period pre-calculus class. Best kids in the school. I'm up there teaching, and it's time to go to lunch. Our head custodian comes up to me at lunch and said, "Hey, what's all this fishing line about in your classroom?" I was like, I have no clue what you're talking about, man. I have no idea what you're talking about. And we get back to the classroom, and these jokers have tied all my chairs together in my classroom with fishing line. I'm not. This really happened.
Okay.
And Mr. Harris, he's also a straight-faced person, very, very by the book, talks to me. Says, "You're gonna have to kind of lay the law on these kids. They're gonna walk on them." And so the next day they come in, and I said, "You need to take a pencil out, and you need to take a piece of paper out." You know, we're taking a quiz today. They're like, "Quiz?" Oh. I was like, "Yes, pop quiz." At the top of the quiz, I named this quiz the fishing line quiz, and that's when they found out that I knew. And so,
well, in 2024, it would be much more difficult to get away with that because we have cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the day, you could get away with a few things.
Yeah.
And if a teacher wasn't on top of it, you were your own video camera.
Well, I was pretty involved in the lesson too, like very, it's pre-calculus, so it's pretty inclusive. And so they're
wait, they did this while you're teaching.
Oh yeah,
while I'm teaching. Oh yeah, that makes it even better.
Which makes it well better.
Yeah, worse.
If you look at it like that way, Mr. Harris didn't see it as better. I think that so while I'm teaching, they were sneaky about it. Like they didn't just like throw it across the room. They were like passing it through me.
had to work together. I mean, yeah. There's some teamwork taking place there.
And the funny part about it is, like, I think about a year ago, you know, Facebook has these, if you graduate from this Westmore this time.
Right, right.
And that story got told on Facebook. I commented on it. I said, guys, I remember this to this day. I said, that kind of helped shape me.
The lesson to be learned there for a young teacher is keep an eye on your kids.
Yeah.
You know, even while you're teaching. Even while you teach, especially while you're teaching. Because they're up to no good. And they can't help it. They're just kids.
And they were good kids. Like, yeah. They really didn't mean any ill will by it.
Yeah, they never do.
But they got one on them.
Well, I'm thankful that they did, because that gave us something to talk about 2024 on Teacher Tales.
That's right.
Well, all right. That does it for Story Times. That does it for this edition of Teacher Tales. If you know a teacher whose story needs to be told on Teacher Tales, please do not hesitate to drop me an email. You can find us on Facebook. We're on all the major platforms. Email me at motovated@gmail.com. If you know a great teacher that needs to be on Teacher Tales, we'd love to interview them. We'll see you next time on Teacher Tales. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teacher Tales. If you are inspired, motivated, or just had a good laugh, be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you know a good teacher who has a story to tell, I'd love to hear from them. Send me an email at motivatedinspiration@gmail.com with your suggestion. Remember, whether you're in the classroom, at home, or out in the world, keep spreading the joy of learning. Until next time, keep those stories alive.